The shield of faith.
We're going to be continuing talking about the whole armor of God. I'm an engineer, and there's a little story about engineers. You know, if somebody gives them a glass that has it's filled halfway to the top, the optimist says, "Well, gee whiz, the glass is half full." The pessimist says it's half empty, and the engineer says the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. Well, we want to know, what is this need for this armor? That's very important. The need is because the adversary wants you dead. He doesn't care about the physically dead. He wants you spiritually dead. Then you're no longer a threat. That's what this armor is for. So in Ephesians 6, right before we talk about the armor, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," that would be easy, "but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness," the darkness of this world. And we know how dark this world is. And for those who are not raised in the truth, those who found the truth, were brought into the truth through the overrulings of God, they know what I mean by the darkness. The world knows nothing of God's plan. They know about a few of the names and the characters, but as far as all the workings of it, nada, nothing. So that's what we're fighting against. Well, we're going to be talking about taking the shield of faith. Above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, taking, that actually means grasp. Don't just take it, but grasp it. Hold on tight. Above all, grasp the shield of faith, wherewith, in other words, wherewith, this is the means by which this is going to happen, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we want to talk about this. First of all, what is faith? We know that faith is intellectual assurance and heart reliance. Now, having come from the world, faith to them means ignorance and optimism. That's what they have. They have optimism. But when their loved ones die, they go to the funeral, the minister puts them in heaven, they don't believe it, regardless of what they say. They still don't have answers. But when we go to a funeral, we know, we have the proof. We have the intellectual assurance. God has proven that to us. But intellectual assurance doesn't get you where you have to be. He wants the heart reliance. And that'll be demonstrated in your life. So in order to have faith, you have to have faith in something. So first, you have to receive information. It means you have to have a hearing ear. The hearing ear is something that's left over from Adam. God doesn't pin ears on somebody. He appeals to what the natural combination of things that are in the person that's left over from Adam. Not everybody has the capacity to hear these things. Many may have the desire to know God and do His will, but the desire is not enough. To truly know Him, and God will know when you want to know, He will overrule things so that as you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. Of course, how can you really get close to God? Well, God says, you can't get that close. You have to see my Son first. So John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." That drawing is for the purpose of justification, of knowing God's plan, knowing His character, seeing the ransom. God's own Son is what He gave. We get to see His heart, that this plan is not just for a few, it's for everybody. We see the justice, wisdom, power, and love. And we say, that's the God I've been looking for. And as we learn more, eventually says, and the reason why I'm showing you this is I've got a place for you right here and now. But here's what it's going to cost: your life, your human life. That's just the ante to begin. And then there are going to be a lot of hard experiences, a lifelong of laying that life down. But we do that. We do that. John 14:6, "Jesus saying unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So God first sends them to the Son for the purpose of justification, realizing, understanding His plan. And then Jesus brings them back to the Father for the purpose of entering into a legal contract binding forever so we can lay down our lives justified by the Lord's merit. And all of that is done by the natural man. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's after this we're spirit begotten. Then our faith, our capacity for faith is increased. Up to that time, we were given representations of what's in the holy by those who are in the holy, but we couldn't see it ourselves. Once we lay down our human will, we can actually enter the holy and see those things for ourselves. And those, since we have no longer a human desire, human will, our desire is really in the most holy. That's where we're headed. That's the faith we're to develop. And without this faith, it is impossible to please God. And God simply says, put me first. And by the way, put yourself last. And then you can develop agape love. Selflessness. Keep in mind, the other side of the veil, divine being will do absolutely nothing for himself. Everything a divine being does is for others. Divine being doesn't need anything. So that's the opportunity. That's why he wants us to develop the selflessness now, this love now. And that's what the shield is faith is going to help us with. Not to think of self. No confidence in self. I've had tried to have confidence in myself before. What a mess that was. I remember one time I was in the hospital with a knee injury. I couldn't do a thing for myself, and I felt really good. I thought, now nothing's going to get screwed up. Because I can't put my hand in anything. We're supposed to have the complete confidence in God, which will give us the peace of God. Now think of David and Goliath. Remember when David comes, here are the armies of Israel against the Philistines, you know, on the different sides of the hill, valley between. There's Goliath beating his shield. Hey, come on, you servants of Saul. All they saw was Goliath, man, you know, 8, 10, 12 feet tall, or 8 or 10 feet tall, who knows how much, 400 or 500 pounds, shield, armor, etc. And here comes little puny David, probably one of the shortest young fellows there, and he comes down and he looks at this Goliath. Now all the rest of Israel, they were shaking in their boots. David walks down, he looks at this man, he looks up at this guy, and he says, he's fighting the God of the armies of Israel. He's fighting the Holy One of Israel. He doesn't stand a chance. That's how David looked at it. That's how God wants us to look in our battles, to realize the foes against us, the foes against our Heavenly Father do not stand a chance. Regardless of the relationship of how we look physically and how they look, they don't stand a chance. The spies of Kadesh Barnea, evil report. All they saw were the difficulties. Caleb realized the Lord's blessings. He says, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. With Elisha, his servant, was very fearful as they were traveling together, and Elisha prayed, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. So he actually saw the proof. So he wasn't afraid anymore. Well, that's what God has to do to us. He has to show us the proof. Well, how does he do that? Through the Bible, through history, through the pyramid. I love the pyramid. God put his plan there first in stone. So if we want to make any changes to his plan, okay, first get out your chisel and your hammer and get to work for about 100 years, and then you make changes, and then come back and talk about changing God's plan. He put it in stone first. This faith is a shield. This is the whole point. It's a shield. Well, shield, armor, makes me think of a soldier. Well, if you're going to be a soldier, and I, by the way, I was, before I was Brother Harry, I heard the truth in 85, I was in the Army before that. You enlist first. You know, you raise your right hand, you take a vow. Paper means nothing. Sign all you want. So when you make that vow, now you're in. You're on duty 24 hours a day, but you have to go through basic training first. You have to wear the uniform and all this stuff, learn how to fire the weapon and learn your job. Then you're a soldier. There's going to be lots of time training and preparing for war. Now, after 9/11, the Army got a whole lot of folks who wanted to enlist, the guys who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Take me. I'm ready to fight. They had lots of zeal. Well, it's easy to have zeal for the war itself. But Brother Perry mentioned this to me some years ago in a talk on Gideon. How many are willing to train and drill to be ready for the battles when they come? That's the important part, because the battles aren't there, I mean, from without all the time. So we have to train and drill and prepare. That's most of what a soldier does. So when the battles come, he's ready for it. Because if you don't do that, I mean, you'd just be killed like that. So this shield is given to us, and it's a large shield. It's to be against the seen and the unseen attacks. Well, this shield is made largely out of the great, exceeding great and precious promises. Now, if you think of the wave offering in Leviticus 8, in the tabernacle, the wave offering, it had the organs of the ram of consecration, and upon it were put the unleavened cake and leavened cake mingled with oil, and the wafer, which represented the exceeding great and precious promises, and they were supposed to wave them. Now, you may think, well, here's this wave offering. That's going to be get kind of heavy, and they put these more things on top. Isn't that going to make it heavier? Well, without that wafer, the exceeding great and precious promises, we couldn't wave it at all. Keep in mind, God is the one who places that waver on there. So we want to claim those promises. We don't want to question whether they're there or not. God put them there. Claim them. Be determined and say, the crown stops here. It's not going to roll over. The same thought was given a little bit earlier today. Don't say, well, I'll be satisfied with whatever. God didn't make a covenant with you because he wanted you to be satisfied with whatever. He said, I want you in the body of Christ. I want you as my son. I want you as the seed of Abraham. Well, this shield was also oiled. It's very important to deflect the arrows and the other things that would be coming in, these fiery darts. There's Isaiah 21:5. Watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. In 2 Samuel 1:21, one of the problems with Saul is that his shield was not anointed with oil. He hadn't oiled his shield. Well, then it would just soak up all the arrows. They wouldn't deflect. Well, this is an anointing with the Holy Spirit, which we have to have. And to bolster our faith, we're given these wonderful examples in Hebrews 11. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. And we think of Abraham and what he did to offer up his son, my word. How many here would be willing to do that? What a tremendous trial this was for this wonderful, faithful one of old. And he saw the resurrection. He reasoned and saw that resurrection. Well, we have these witnesses, or these, I think of it as legal depositions that have been put into the Bible so we can read things that actually happened, so that we can lay aside every weight and all the things that are bogging us down. But then what we do is we don't look at the ancient worthies, we look unto Jesus. He is the author and finisher. He is our example. And keep in mind, Jesus used this whole armor just as we do. He needed it just like we do. He is the shield of faith many, many times to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We can read about these darts that went his way all the time, but none of them could penetrate because of the shield of faith and all the other features of the armor which he used. The darts will still come, but our faith will quench us, will quench them. And they cannot hurt us as new creatures. Well, what are they? New ideas, higher criticism, doubt. Many times it's self-doubt. Maybe feeling forsaken in your experiences. We have to claim the promises, just like Hezekiah did. He got this letter from Sennacherib saying, we're going to lay waste to Jerusalem. There's nothing your God's going to do about it. So he goes in and lays that letter before God and says, okay, there it is. And God says, don't worry, not one arrow's going to fly over the wall. Well, that's how it's going to be. The wall is essentially our new creature. No arrow is going to damage the new creature if we constantly rely on our Heavenly Father. So, what kind of weapons do we use? Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And these strongholds really are to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This battle we fight is within self. It's not outside. We're not going to defeat all the foes out there. The one we have to fight against, the Canaanites in our own breast. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty. Now the adversary, whenever we get in a situation, he's got plenty of weapons. He likes to say, here, use mine. Use these carnal weapons. In fact, you already have them. All you have to do is get them and use them. And he tempts us to do that. We can't do that. Our weapons are faith. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. These are the ones that will bring us off victors. Our experience, one thing I'd like to talk about in the last 30 seconds, is for grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Now, God gives us lots of technical doctrine, lots of other things for us to understand, and we try, and we make our consecration. We say, it's 100%, we believe you. And God says, I know you're saying that, but you don't. But you will. So I'm going to give you experiences to show you that I'm keeping my promises. And he'll give you those experiences all your life long. And so much of our faith that we have is because of the experiences God has done for us to say, this is from me, this is from me, this is from me. And basically, in the very, very difficult trials, and we had one a few years ago, and here's what I learned. God essentially says, here's the deal. I will take care of all the little things, which includes every event in the entire universe. You concentrate on the big thing, which is your consecration.